Training a child requires wisdom, compassion, and patience. Most of us have worked hard to ensure that our sons and daughters know their boundaries and become self-managed adults. But most of us would also admit that we've made our fair share of mistakes along the way. Some of those missteps are innocent and easily forgotten. Others have left scars for parent and child alike. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents the 12th and final message in his Biblical Parenting series. He's chosen to speak on what to do when you've blown it. But first, we begin with prayer.
Thank you, dear Father, for your tender mercies. Those mercies that touch us with your heart of compassion. As you find us in the midst of our mess, you are never one to shame or to chide because you understand us. You realize that we are but dust. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and you have laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hear the beat of our hearts today, our Father, as we come before you, acknowledging that we do not deserve your grace, but that is what makes it grace, receiving what we don't deserve. And rather than taking advantage of it, may we find ourselves overwhelmed with the goodness of it, your unmerited favor on us of all people. How grateful we are, therefore, that you invite sinners to come. Thank you that your invitations are always marked by kindness and acceptance and understanding. You don't invite the self-righteous, the proud, the arrogant, the greedy. You invite sinners, people like us, those who are broken and bruised because of our own or others' failure, those of us who understand what it means to lose, and to go through the sadness of consequences. You invite us as sinners to come, poor and needy, weak and worn. Come to me and I will give you rest. I pray for those who have blown it, for those who look back on their homes and realize that their failures have caused damage and hurt. And I pray that you will speak through your word today to deliver them and the rest to freedom, to a rescue from guilt and shame, and bring us all to a place of grace and the strength to go on. We count on you today, our Father, to feed us the good word of God. May it nourish our souls. May we find ourselves less preoccupied with the things of this past week or the concerns of what face us tomorrow. And may we, in the midst of the now, hear what you are saying. Take it to heart and allow it to guide us in the way we should go. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message titled, What to Do When You've Blown It.
Let me begin with what I have called in the outline some painful realities of being human. First, we are all imperfect, including our children. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, we cannot change the past. Paul writes in Philippians 3:13, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. Here's the third one. We are personally responsible for our own wrongs. We are personally responsible for our own wrongs. You cannot blame someone else. If you do, you're making a very terrible mistake. You did wrong, it was wrong. You are responsible for it. You failed here, you failed here. It is your responsibility. Don't rationalize around it. Turn with me to one of the major prophets named Jeremiah. I want you to mark this verse I'm going to show you, these two verses, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 and verse 12. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. There's hope in those three verses. I love those verses. God's plans for us are good plans, not for welfare or calamity or a long finger pointing, bringing further shame and disgust. Our God is saying, there is a tomorrow, there is a today. There is something in your life beyond your past. There is a going on that can be very encouraging. And if I may say it, kids who have blown it need verses like that. Because in the midst of the realization of the wrong, your mind plays tricks on you and the enemy goes, aha, aha, see there? This is all you deserve. You're getting exactly what you have coming. And if you think your God's going to bail you out of this, you're kidding yourself. He's left you in the lurch. No, no, no. I know the plans that I have for you, not calamity, but a future, a hope, and welfare. Just what I need. Just what I need. Those are great words. I want to help you press on. My goal today, I will not hide it from you. My goal today is to help you press on. I hope to hear from various ones of you who say, as of this day, I have decided I will leave, and then you name it, all of this behind. I will deal with, and you name that, and now I am pressing on. I'm going on. I'm going on. You think I could stand and preach today if I didn't believe that? A failing father, as I have been on a number of occasions. You think I don't speak from experience when I talk about drowning and shame and blame? You think it's difficult for you? Try being a preacher and blow it. It's a terrible experience. I too need relief. I need hope. I need a future. I need to know that there isn't calamity written across my life. Now, Joel chapter 2. Please go there next. Joel has written of the doom that is to come upon the nation, and it will be misery personified. But I'm applying it to the home and family, so understand, I realize it has a national context, but the application of it, I will make domestic. Joel 2, like Jeremiah 29, written to a nation that has blown it. I know that. The context is a nation that has been far removed from a relationship with their God. The nation is Israel. And the terrible tribulation that has come upon them as a consequence of their failure has just about done them in. Listen to this. They have lost their hope. They have lost their future. They have lost their families. They have lost their crops. and they have lost whatever might have been a relationship with their God. On top of everything, there have been swarms of locusts that have come and eaten away the foliage so that what was once luxuriant plants in the fields are now naked brown stalks that look like bamboo poles sticking out of the ground. That's where they are. Now look at the words of the Lord God. Verse 21, do not fear, O land. Rejoice and be glad. The Lord has done great things. Verse 23, O rejoice, sons of Zion. Be glad in the Lord your God. See, they couldn't be glad about their surroundings. They couldn't be glad about their failures. The only place to find joy is in the Lord their God. Why? Because he has given you the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you the rain, early and latter rain. So the rain has come. And the threshing floors will one day be filled with grain, and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. This is a picture of a change, of prosperity taking the place of starvation and barrenness. And then he adds something that is just picturesque beyond words. Verse 25, then, as you have repented, as you have seen the error of your ways, as you have acknowledged the wrongdoing, then I will make up to you for the years the swarming locusts have eaten, the creeping locusts, the stripping locusts, and the gnawing locusts. Right, it gives me the willies to read about all those locusts. Ever been in a locust swarm? If you haven't, you can't appreciate it. While traveling from Mount Hermon back down to Southern California on Highway 5, we stopped at a small service station, and I got out to put the gasoline in our car. And as I walked over to open the gas tank, I felt crunching under my feet. And I looked down, and I could not see the concrete. It was covered with moving insects. It was like a Stephen King movie coming in on me. And I'm like, yikes. And I opened the gas cap, and there they were going right into where the gasoline is to go into the tank. And I said to the station, what on earth is this? He said, look. And I looked over, and I saw the results of the swarming, gnawing, creeping locusts that are coming through. There was not a shred of vegetation on those crops. He said, look there. The swarm was moving in this direction, and you could see some foliage, but it was rapidly fading. Now, what makes this interesting is the reference to the locusts is not necessarily literal. It's a reference to consequences that God has brought on the people. Surely includes locusts, but it has to do with their sinfulness and their failures and their neglect and their lack of attention to spiritual things. Look at the end of verse 25. The locust happens to be my great army, which I sent among you. You know what it's like to go through a locust experience? Live on the backwash of your sinfulness. You've done wrong. You've failed. You played the role of a hypocrite. You've lied about it. Suddenly, your life is as barren as a field where the swarm has passed because you have experienced the great army which God sent. Tell you the truth, the conviction you have is a healthy conviction. It's a healthy conviction. Remember, you never turn from any addiction. You never get beyond any list of failures in your life until you acknowledge you are responsible. He said, it's an army I sent among you, but he doesn't stop there. How grateful we are. Next verse. You shall have, those are words of the future. You shall have plenty to eat and be satisfied. You will praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. Then my people will never be put to shame. You know what's happened? They've recovered. They've repented. They've realized the failure and the wrong. And they've turned to the Lord their God, no longer stripped of their hope and of their future. The locust swarms of our past are pretty horrendous. Admittedly, some are worse than others. Some of you have gone through several marriages. You have several families. You have left a trail along the way because you have been along the way unwilling to acknowledge you are the problem. Had an attorney speak to me this morning following the first worship service who said to me, I appreciate your words today. He said they remind me of a particular lawsuit that I was determined I was going to carry out my own personal life. He said, so I had two attorneys. One was tough as a boot, and the other one was a Christian and a little more compassionate. So the tough one said to him, just give me the time, I'll drive an axe right down the middle of his skull. Ooh. The other one stood by and said, you want that? You want to live your life like that? Or do you want to be able to go on with your life? He said, I want to be able to go on. That axe down the middle of a skull doesn't help my problem. It may give me a little bit of sensual satisfaction, but he said, the man said to me, then I would suggest that you stop driving your vehicle by staring in the rearview mirror. Isn't that an interesting way to put it? Now, be careful with this statement. When you leave the church today, try driving out by just looking at the rearview mirror. You'll never even get out of the lot. You'll have more accidents than you can shake a stick at. Because you can't drive by staring at a rearview. You need it sometime, but you look through the windshield to drive. And he said, that man said to me, I suggest that you and I spend time together and I help you know what it means to forgive. Because no matter how many heads you slice into with an axe, you will never find relief from your own bitterness until you deal with yourself. Someone put it well. They wrote, bitterness is like taking poison and thinking the other person will die. Some of you are dying because of the poison you took back when. You're spending your time blaming those kids or that boss or your former spouse. Whatever. The gnawing, creeping locusts have taken their toll, and it's time for that to end. The guilt you feel is a healthy guilt. It's a necessary conviction. It's a godsend to bring you to your knees as you acknowledge your own wrongdoing. He doesn't stay there, but it begins the process of his bringing relief from the swarming, creeping, gnawing, stripping locusts that have eaten away at the crops, the grain of your own life. I will tell you today that the goodness of our God is greater than the badness of our failures. The goodness of our God is greater than the badness of our failures. He will graciously give you a future and a hope, even with the children with whom you may still feel a sense of distance. So how do we move from guilt and shame to recovery and renewal? This won't take long, but you'll have to think with me. Think with me now. We want to move from guilt and shame to recovery and renewal. I want to start with what won't help. This is a negative. Let's go there first. What won't help is to misunderstand and misuse biblical instruction. It is to misunderstand and misuse biblical instruction. numerous verses on the parent-child relationship, and we've looked at most of them, if not most, many of them. One of them was, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Got it. Airtight. 100%. I'm going to do that. And you do that. You tell him where to go. You tell him how to think. You send him to the school they ought to go to. You bear down on them. You tighten the rule book. And you stand over them saying, there, that's where you go. That's the way you go. And you know what? They can't wait to get out from under your influence. But I thought the Bible said, no, wait. That's misunderstanding that promise. I often warn people against making God's word walk on all fours. For example, there's a verse that says, and it's the televangelist's favorite verse, ask anything and it shall be done unto you. Have enough faith you can move a mountain. So these dear people pray, and by the way, I've never ever heard of a mountain that they've ever moved. They're all in place. You can't push that too far. If I believed that whatever I ask would be answered, in a bad day I would say, kill my neighbor. Lord, I'm tired of him. Or you know that boss I had back years ago? Strike him down with cancer. That's not a verse of scripture you use for that. That's misunderstanding the Bible. And if you have heard these things that we've been presenting and you force them into your corner, making them say what you want them to say, you're going to be of all people most miserable. They're not meant to say that. There's a whole book called a Bible. There are verses here and there that are meaningful and significant, but they must be taken in context with where they are found and with other verses in what is called correlation, comparing this verse, ask whatever you will in my name and it shall be done. Another verse, ask according to my will and it will be done. Then there's another verse, if there is sin in your life, no matter what you ask, I will not hear what you're saying. So there's a lot to say about prayer. You need to be careful on those subjects. So that's one thing that'll give you trouble and it won't help. Here's another one. To ignore common sense. Oh man, if I could bring one thing back to the Christian family, it would be common sense. Just plain old common sense. If this planet needed anybody with good common sense, it's moms and dads, especially moms and dads with teenagers. How easy to ignore all of that when we pursue the rearing of our children.
On today's edition of Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll is talking about what to do when you've blown it. And there's much more we need to hear from this 12th and final message in the Biblical Parenting Series, a practical study that concludes tomorrow. It's a good time to call or go online to purchase the 12 CDs or the downloadable audio files for this classic series. Listen at your own pace, and then loan the CDs to a young mom or dad who would benefit from this teaching as well. To request a copy of the message, go online to insightworld.org/store. And then here's another resource you'll enjoy. Our team has put together comprehensive study notes called Searching the Scriptures that coincide with Chuck's messages. Whether you're a pastor, perhaps leading a small group Bible study, or you're simply curious to learn more about God's design for the family, be sure to take advantage of this free resource. You'll find notes for all 12 studies in the Biblical Parenting Series by going to insightworld.org/studies. This free study tool is made possible because listeners like you give donations to support Insight for Living. And Chuck, we are especially grateful to our monthly companions who are devoted to giving on a regular basis.
Well, that's true, Dave. My feelings of gratitude run deep today for every single monthly companion. Life is far better when we do things together. After all, God never designed us to be sequestered in isolation. He wired us to live in community with one another. And our monthly companions are those who have said to me, "Hey, Chuck, let's do this thing together. I want to come alongside and walk with you. I'm ready to be a part of the family that causes Insight for Living Ministries to thrive. Responses like that are so encouraging to me because Insight for Living Ministries could not exist without our monthly companions. I love the way Solomon's wisdom is declared in the New Living Translation. Listen to Ecclesiastes 4:12, which reads, "A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." It's my voice you hear every day teaching the Bible, but trust me on this, it takes a family of loyal monthly companions to provide insight for living. So let me urge you to strengthen the braided cord by becoming a monthly companion today. Dave?
You can become a monthly companion right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. To thank you for your partnership, we've put together a collection of three CDs that celebrate our hope in Christ. The first two CDs contain encouraging messages from Chuck, and the third features an inspirational concert by the Stonebriar Community Church Sanctuary Choir and Orchestra. In fact, the song you're hearing right now comes from this inspirational worship CD. You can send a donation and request these CDs now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Dave Spiker, inviting you to join us Thursday when Chuck Swindoll will continue his series on biblical parenting here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, What to Do When You've Blown It, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.